News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you all along. Sunshine this morning. Looks pretty nice after kind of a cloudy, rainy day yesterday. Very humid. As we move along here, it looks like high pressure is going to build over where we are, and we should have a beginning Thursday on into the weekend. Mm-hmm. Looks really nice.
Yeah, and once that dry air moves in, we'll be looking at highs in the low 80s, and then Dr. Bill said over the weekend we might see some lows. We'll see some lows in the 50s, so it's going to be setting us up for a really nice weekend. Who was it that texted earlier? Haywood. So Dr. Bill is setting us up for a 2.1 weekend. He's saying it'll be better than perfect. 251-343-0106, that is our number, and a lot going on this morning. Had a text earlier from a texter, and thank you. Said fire, big fire is what they said at Legacy Village near Dolphin Street. Multiple fire trucks. Not sure what is on fire. I think we.
Well, there's Legacy Village. That's the shopping center.
Mm-hmm. And then Legacy Oaks.
Of course, is you have the residence.
But it sounds like did a little call, and we'll continue to investigate. But they sent a couple fire trucks, a couple units out there, and it sounds like it's out and under control.
If you have any more information about that, I would appreciate that. Just text us or call 251-343-0106. Was it Legacy?
Legacy Village is what the texter said.
Legacy Village is the shopping center.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So we'll give you an update on that as it comes in. We have a lot of local news to get to, but why don't we just first kind of quickly start with the shutdown and where things stand
now. Is there a shutdown right now?
There is. I don't know if you've heard. It's entering the second week.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, kind of watching the way the political game is playing out and kind of how Trump is handling this, how the Republicans are handling it, and how the Democrats are handling it. I think Senator Cory Booker yesterday, I had a quote from him where he said he sees nothing wrong with the Democrats' messaging here over the last week and a half. He thinks they're playing this thing exactly right. And I think today you'll probably hear a lot about the issues at airports that began really popping up yesterday. And while we have been talking about air traffic controller issues for years now. And remember, I mean, it seemed like week after week during the Biden administration with Buttigieg as transportation secretary, we had planes colliding on runways. You had many, many, many close calls that could have resulted in massive losses of life. You had the actual terrible accident in D.C.
That was awful.
Hundreds, you know, perished. Yep. And it's really kind of settled down, it seems, during the Sean Duffy era as transportation secretary.
He seems to be doing what he can. He's, this administration has been much more proactive for sure, right? Mm-hmm. When you compare Sean Duffy to Buttigieg, it's if you're evaluating NFL talent, one belongs nowhere near the league, and the other one looks like he's a capable all-pro.
Mm-hmm. But they couldn't just wave their magic wand, though.
No, there's too much to be done.
The shortage in air traffic controllers, they couldn't fix that problem immediately. And now, while that's still been an ongoing issue, you add in the fact that they're not currently being paid, although we're now in, day 8 of the shutdown? So I'm not sure they've technically missed a paycheck yet, unless they missed one on the first of the month, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't think he missed anything yet.
And I think Trump, he's using the next payday as leverage, just like he's using so many other things as leverage to try to get Democrats to sign on the dotted line. And I think when he talks about, maybe we won't give some of these federal government employees back pay, I think he's also using that to pressure the Democrats into folding on this.
Yeah, but it's kind of an off-the-cuff remark, right, where you're left wondering, what exactly do you mean?
Yeah.
But maybe that was part of it to leave us wondering, what exactly do you mean? That might have been part of what he had to part of why he said what he said. This was Trump's quote that Dalton is referring to.
For the most part, we're going to take care of our people. There are some people that really don't deserve to be taken care of, and we'll take care of them in a different way.
Okay. Talking like the mafia boss he often portrays.
So as last night you had O'Hare, the real problem, it seems, was Nashville International that was so short-staffed. They just shut down the ATC center there, and we're using the Memphis control to help land planes, navigate planes around Nashville. O'Hare, they said, was short-staffed for 9 hours. They had delays averaging around 40 minutes. A texter pointed out earlier, said, I fly to O'Hare at least a couple or several times a year, and 40 minutes is about standard anyway.
Normal,
I'm
right?
Not sure, yeah. And he also had some issues in Houston and Newark as well. Gavin Newsom is... He's trying his hardest, okay? He's trying his hardest to capitalize on all of this, or his social media team is. And they give themselves away often. You go, I don't think Gavin Newsom posted this. But with Burbank, California, and I don't know what the size of that airport is. I guess it's got to be bigger than the Gulf Shores Airport, right?
Yeah,
in Burbank.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you think about it, L.A. is such a massive city, right? It's not like the... I don't think that the LAX is the one.
Yeah.
But this one is probably brings in a lot of private planes and cargo and things like that for Hollywood's needs, mm-hmm. be my guess.
So they were having some issues on Monday night, and Newsom jumped in on that, of course, blaming Trump for it. But I think you'll probably see a lot more talk today and going forward here. And by the way, it is illegal for air traffic controllers to call out sick. That is against federal law, and I don't know if they're technically calling in and saying they're sick or what. It seems to me like it's a protest. Mm-hmm. And you know, keeping in mind that is it fair to say that air traffic controllers are overworked? It's already a really stressful job, and they have all of these hiring issues.
I think they are.
So I don't really know. It's tough for me to put my feet in their shoes.
Yeah.
But when they're already working this tough of a job and then they're not going to get paid, but you know, it's their
they signed up for
job.
It, what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how that will all play out. I know Trump blasted Schumer yesterday. He said Democrats have no leader to negotiate with. He mocked Schumer as powerless within his own party. And this was all right beside Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. Trump compared Democrats to Somalia and suggested the shutdown could continue. As, like Dan said, the administration's weighing denying back pay, permanently, potentially cutting some federal jobs. I know Mike Johnson also, he's been making the rounds for the whole last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's making them. And so on earlier this week, he just did kind of a, it was almost like a class, if you will. Like, okay, I'm going to explain this to you. Okay, now listen, this is how it all came to be as far as the shutdown. I think that there were some that were really surprised when after it, the CR flew through the House, they expected the Senate to ratify it,
mm-hmm.
and they were kind of surprised by everything that went down.
That the Democrats held such a strong line there.
Yeah, and a lot of it's got to do with Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to have to do with AOC, who was last week saying, hey, you just negotiate.
Come to my office.
Yeah, come to me, right? A member of the House of Representatives. And she was putting she was fitting herself for the crown.
And Trump poked her on that yesterday, too. He's like, you're telling us to negotiate with you. Who are you?
Yeah.
Like, you're not the one we need to negotiate with.
Well, she's powerful enough, at least over Schumer, to threaten his, she may run against him for the Senate, or he may just slink away. I don't know. This is Johnson. Now, he talked for a long time. I just squeezed out about a minute of the explanation.
Healthcare is broken in America. It's too expensive. The quality of care needs to rise. We need more access for more people, and we have lots of ideas to do that. But that issue is for debate in the next few 3 months. It always was. We have members working on that. The tax credit, the subsidy you've heard about that expires December 31st, there's a lot of thoughtful debate and discussion that has already been going on about that and will go on about that. But that's a December 31 issue. So Chuck Schumer is scrambling. He has to have an issue. None of their policies are very popular. So they decided to lob onto health care. And he decided to claim to all of you that that is the issue with government funding. It is not. Those are two totally separate things. The clean continuing resolution would simply keep the lights on so that the members in the House and Senate can have those debates on health care. We were always planning, and we have lots of ideas on the table on how to fix it, but we don't yet have consensus on it because it's very complicated.
All right, there you go. So yeah. He said October. In fact, this was one of the month where they were really going to
negotiate on health care stuff.
Yeah. And now they can't because...
Well. I think the Republicans are winning the war of messaging, which doesn't mean it's a rout. It means that maybe 55% of America agrees with the Republicans and 45% agree with the Democrats. But those are big numbers when you're talking our national politics. I think the messaging from the Republicans, it's been pretty straightforward. It's not only is this a continuation of this is not only is this a clean CR, this is a clean CR that harkens back to the Biden days of spending. This isn't even what the Republicans technically want. It's kind of the message he's putting out there. We've offered you an olive branch. We're going to keep things running like this. You have to come back to us. Then we'll talk about health care. And this is interesting, too, as you talk about kind of the spin that each side is putting on this. I thought this was a genius move. The White House yesterday announced it will redirect tariff revenue in order to keep food benefits flowing for about 7 million low-income mothers, infants, and children as the shutdown continues. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, yesterday said the administration would transfer money from Section 232 tariffs, which are those levies imposed by the president on steel, aluminum, copper, and foreign-made cars, to sustain the WIC nutrition program after Democrats forced its funding to lapse. So Leavitt is saying, listen, we're running out of money in the WIC program. All of these low-income mamas and their babies are going to go hungry, but we're going to kind of Band-Aid it right now with all this money we're bringing in from the tariffs.
Yeah, that's a winner.
I think so, as far as messaging goes. The $7.6 billion program, which provides baby formula and healthy foods to families, was projected to run out of funds this week. Tariffs, by the way, have generated, they say, around $190 billion so far this year. And the White House, again, with the messaging there. I don't know, because remember, I set the over-under at a woefully short Friday evening.
Yeah.
And that was 5 days ago.
I went along with you.
I thought that the Democrats would break. But I think we had a text earlier, and it was from Butterknife. It looks like the Republicans are starting to crack with Marjorie Taylor Greene's latest comment about health care premiums. And MTG, yeah, she did step out there yesterday and was complaining about the potential sunsetting of those ACA subsidies and how it will likely leave a lot of Americans without health care coverage or with way too expensive health care coverage. To me, and to kind of continue our theme of the airlines, I don't know how you play off this whole Obamacare thing, because you have so many Americans who knew it would not work, knew it would be a bad idea. You end up going along because it went through.
Yeah.
But the Republicans can't just end it, right? They can't just shut it down without an alternative. And I still haven't heard a great, or at least a great alternative from the Republicans that is supported by enough people to make it a reality. It's almost like Obamacare, like they took you and put you on a plane you didn't want to be on, right?
Yeah.
And you're flying, now you're in the air. Well, yeah. They're listening to you on this plane that you didn't want to be on, Obamacare. They say, oh, well, we can just throw you out right now if you don't want to be on it. And go, no, we need to land this plane now. Yeah. I just want us to have a better alternative and figure this thing out. So
how many Americans right now are using Obamacare? I like to look at that number. Like,
yeah,
that
I don't know.
Actually, that is their primary insurance, because I
lot.
Know. Yeah.
A ton, yeah.
I wonder if it is a ton, because I know that. Well, you remember the rollout? It's pretty messy. It wasn't really good, right? Because it was government website.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah. And that was, what, 15 years ago at this point? Maybe longer. This texter, the news has been covered up with all the food banks at work given the shutdown. Let's be clear, no one has missed a paycheck yet. This texter, I was an air traffic controller for the Navy in Southern California. Burbank Airport is bigger and busier than Mobile. That's some good insight there.
Well, that's not a high bar.
Yeah, I guess you're right. 820, more Mobile Mornings on the way. Your text at 251-343-0106. Yeah, some great Obamacare insights from texters we'll get to here in just a second. 251-343-0106. Let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. And we're reaching that point in the sports calendar where it's all going on, right? Before long, we'll have some college basketball rolling, some college football, the pros, baseball still going on. Hockey just started last night. So it is a great time to have the Underdog app on your phone. You can select entries and win money right now in Alabama. And playing on Underdog is easy. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. And obviously football. Stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns. Once we get into basketball, you'll be working with stats like points scored, three-pointers made, blocked shots. And you can mix and match different sports in your entries. And the more players you add to your entries, if you get them all right, the more money you can win. You can actually win up to 5,000 times your cash. So download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, Underdog. Make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_TFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Brad's an independent contractor. Is that worth that entire text to read?
Yeah,
right,
you want me to read it out?
Yeah, you read that, and because in the end he's talking about open enrollment begins in November, mm-hmm. and you're almost funneled right into Obamacare. You know, there's no way around it.
He says, hello, I was recently laid off from my job, and I'm now an independent contractor. The only way I could get coverage was either COBRA or through the healthcare exchange,
Cobra,
a.k.a.
terrible.
Obamacare. COBRA premiums were four times the amount what I used to pay when I had coverage through my job for my family.
Yes.
With Obamacare, the premiums are pretty high, even with the subsidy and the minimum deductible starting out at about $7,500 and our $15,000 just for basic primary coverage. I'm an independent that's always voted Republican, and if the subsidies go away, there's no way I will be able to afford primary coverage unless I have a deductible of at least $15,000 per person in my family. I have a family of three. It's a pretty bad situation if you're a small business owner or self-employed. And Brad continues, by the way, open enrollment starts November 1st. And if you try to go straight to a health insurance carrier, they force you to go through Obamacare on the exchange. So there's really no way out as I see it now. Looks like about 24.3 million people this year are enrolled in the ACA Marketplace health plans. It's down from around 44 million people covered last year.
I wonder where they went.
Well, I think a lot of it was different states' laws also kind of changing things. And the health care discussion, if you haven't noticed, not exactly my specialty. But I do understand that it's has been and could continue to be a big problem. And I think whichever side feels that pressure most will likely be the first to kind of crack. Are the Republicans going to decide to talk with the Democrats about these subsidies before voting through the continuing resolution? Fire Dog says, one of the things that both of the Trump administrations have taught us is that the mainstream media doesn't matter. When the Democrats get up there and call us racist or Nazis, the Republicans can just point and laugh. 10 years ago, they all would have cowered behind their own shadows and run to the nearest media to announce whatever was going on. I do think right now, where we stand at this time on this Wednesday morning, the mainstream media has less power than it has since it began.
Easily.
Easily.
And again, this Barry Weiss, you have to, this is a very interesting story, y'all, because she created, almost we were talking about OutKick, right? And mm-hmm. they created something to oppose ESPN.
She was let go from New York Times, created her own Substack, but not just her personally only writing on the Substack. She made a newsroom for the mm-hmm. Free Press. And yep. She had articles going out all week.
Yep. Right. So it was called the Free Press, and it was bought by Ellison.
Paramount, yeah.
And Paramount for $150 million. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, again, what effect will Barry Weiss, who seems to be somebody who, she's very pro-Israel, as is Ellison and his son, mm-hmm. that may have something to do with it, I don't know.
I'm sure it played a role.
Yeah, yeah. She's very pro-Israel, but she seems to be somebody that's at least down the middle. She at least admitted what the left-wing media was doing, because they kind of did it to her.
Yeah, they ran her out, and she isn't even a conservative, really, in my book. I mean, she has some conservative leanings. I wonder if you'll see, will NBC kind of move their needle in that same direction? I don't know.
And is it too late? 8:30.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and have a conversation with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine and setting up for a nice warm day. Some cooler, nicer weather setting in later this week. And I know that's a good thing to have, good weather, when you're riding out of the McConnell Automotive lot with a new vehicle. And you have plenty of options out there for folks right now.
That's right. I mean, those trucks are coming in every day dropping off new stuff. I mean, we've got from Yukons to the new body style Terrain to the Acadia. I mean, if anybody looked at those two SUVs, they would buy it in a heartbeat. Man, they are just beautiful cars. Got some new Yukons in, too. We hadn't had those, but we've got a few in. And the used car side, man, we're buying and trading cars in every day. Y'all need to check that vehicles out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141, or come on, stop by and see us.
Yeah, that's always the best way, in my opinion, is getting out there and looking at the cars up close and personal. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie, and have a great day.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Radup. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
We've got a couple of texts this morning about the Sheriff Paul Birch Halloween decorations in his yard, or theme decoration, ice decoration, whatever you want to call it. But there's a bunch more. I guess WKRG published the story, and Roseanne Haven has got a bunch of
comments.
Comments have rolled in, hundreds and hundreds of comments there.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen this story, and while it's not on CNN and Fox News yet, I'm sure it will be by the end of the day, Sheriff Birch's Halloween display, and some local media posting images yesterday and then putting it up online. And, of course, all kinds of takes on this from locals. And I saw on Twitter some pretty high-profile accounts posting the image and the commentary from Sheriff Birch's wife, Michelle. And then the comments on that are pretty outstanding, too. But the display depicts skeletons dressed as ICE agents chasing other skeletons who are wearing sombreros and ponchos. And Lanyap got some commentary from some different residents around Mobile. Whitney Newman called the display dehumanizing, said it sends a harmful message about who deserves dignity. Grace Resendez McCaffrey, a liaison for the Hispanic community, said the display could erode trust between law enforcement and immigrants. And the sheriff's office, I guess when they have been asked about this, said questions about the display should go to Sheriff Birch personally. But his wife, Michelle, did comment on the decorations. Let me read hers in full. "Every year I make tongue-in-cheek Halloween decorations with a topical theme at my home. My husband has nothing to do with these other than mowing the grass around them. I made this one playing both on my Cuban background and new needed changes in federal immigration enforcement. My parents were legal immigrants, and I have plenty of immigrants throughout my family. I'll make a new one shortly. We have no shortage of topics to cover." So that was the response from Sheriff Birch's wife. And we did get a text on this earlier, a couple of them actually. Jason said, "Good morning, guys. Have y'all noticed how the local TV media is covering the story about the decorations?" Said, "I grew up with Mel Showers and Bob Gripp, and they didn't present things the same way," he says, "that Albrecht, Ligon, and the gang does now." Kind of tying in News 5 and Channel 10 there. He says, "Pandering to the victim class. What changed and where has common sense gone? Personally, I think it's great, and just one more reason I'm proud he's our sheriff." And then Jason posts an image of, where was that in Texas? I'd forgotten about this. He said, "I don't recall the outrage or eroded trust comments from this recent display in Texas. With Trump supporters, they were wearing MAGA hats, and they were being hung right there at the gallows with another mannequin standing beside it, apparently the one doing the hanging, wearing a poncho," right? He said, "I don't remember the outrage from this. Our media is broken. I guess if I don't get the raise I expect, I'll just tell my employer they are eroding trust between us. These people are insane." That's from Jason. One more text we got earlier this morning, and we'll get to some of the newer ones too. This texture says, "Most Halloween decorations could offend someone. People need to laugh more and not be so easily offended."
Couple things. I think it was in the story on Fox 10 News, they did tie it. They did the story, and near the end of the story, they talked about the incident last week where Birch had to talk about illegals being tased and punched, where he said it was justified because the guy was
not complying,
fighting like heck, not complying. But they did tie that together. That might be one of the complaints that some of our listeners have, like, hey, those are two, what are you doing here? But they did take the time to tie that together. The other thing is, the most obvious part of all this, if you were to have an objection to it, it's one of the leading law enforcement people in this. He's the leading law enforcement man in the county.
Yeah.
And so to have a to say, you know, it's kind of funny. I get it. Maybe not my cup of tea, but that's fine. But when it's the residence of somebody that is so high profile in law enforcement, I think that's where people have got questions about it or a problem with it.
Yeah, and you would expect some people to be put off by it, certainly. Yeah. And I think that's also the difference in an elected position versus something like a police chief, right? When you're elected, you really have your constituents to answer to. And it seems to me that majority of the constituents that put Birch in office are A-OK with that. And
that's a very good point.
And that's kind of what it comes down to, right?
That's
but
a good
I know,
point.
I kind of think of it like, and we've talked so much about the deportation efforts, the arrests of illegals being made in Baldwin County especially, but Mobile County here too, and how much more rapidly it's occurring here than even other parts of Alabama, parts of Florida. I mean, they're absolutely getting after it, which I love to see. I was hoping that every law enforcement office would be doing the same thing that we're seeing the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office doing and the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. And you think of the people that would be offended by this, you could think of it that way. I imagine that Birch and a lot of these law enforcement officers are thinking about the dangerous, absolutely, in many cases, evil, multiple time deported illegal immigrants who have done just some heinous crimes. I mean, you don't have to look far. We've had a couple in the past week, some child sex crimes being committed.
That seems to be the thing.
There's a real criminal element that's being taken off the streets here. And I don't think it's fair to discount that. And what kind of, I mean, you have a job. The sheriff's job is to go out and get anyone who's committing crimes, but they're focused especially right now on these illegal immigrants. And you're basically saying, hey, you know, tone it down. Me personally, I think if the lower profile, the better. But I'm not Sheriff Birch. He knows what works and what doesn't. I would think if you're making all these arrests and making such headway in deporting the illegals that there's not maybe – I wouldn't feel the need to draw that extra attention. But, again, I'm not Sheriff Birch, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
I'm not exactly offended by it necessarily either, but I'm not Mexican, so I don't know.
Well, also the thing that we're seeing about the 1,000% of spike in attacks on ICE, mm-hmm. that does not appear to be happening locally, Baldwin or Mobile County. I haven't really seen any cases of that. Have you?
No, not any
pushback by just citizens or
just your standard Saturday morning downtown protest.
Right. Then that's been the. As far as we've gotten with that, and that's good to see. There's no telling how many people have gotten who were very dangerous. And I don't think that's a bad thing to make note of that when you do make an arrest where it's more than someone that is here illegally or, overspent his time here or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't feel like as critical a crime as somebody who was deported once before or has committed crimes in Mexico and or here, somebody who has got a record of dangerous crime. And some of this criminal activity, it's not small potatoes. It's some tough stuff. How about also the fact that you have these former gang members, but I guess they're still gang members because they're here together, and they've been able to gang together and pull off some amazing heists in the United States, too. And that's been attributed to people who are gang members, you know, organized crime, and they've been very organized with the way they've gone about it. These are some of the thefts from athletes and things like that. Maybe not the most dangerous crimes out there.
But massive heists.
Massive heists as well. So that speaks to the organization. It's not random, you know. They got it together. They still have the band's back together. They're just over here.
Yeah, and so that kind of ties, you know, exactly into my point. The law enforcement is fighting a different battle than I think a lot of Americans think they are.
Yeah,
and it's not always just going out to some work site. And although that is happening too, but there's some really dangerous situations there in here too, and getting dangerous illegals off the streets. So I think maybe that should be kept in mind a little bit. Backstrap Stacker says, I love Paul Birch's decorations. Get over it, snowflakes. Tim says, keep your eyes on the road and mind your own damn business.
Well, hey, it's It's there. It's decoration.
You knew it would be provocative.
Well, it's provocative, but it's there to draw eyes. It's there. No, you don't drive by it, and whatever your opinion of it is yours. But the fact is, she put the decorations up to draw your attention. I mean, it's there to be seen, to be viewed, and to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's being talked about.
BA says, I wish we could cross-reference the people that are PO'd with the sheriff's decorations and the people that cheer on J.D. Crow every time he draws a white politician in a Klan hood. I bet a bunch of them are the same. Yeah, and I saw J.D. Crow, I guess his latest cartoon, basically saying guns are the issue in Montgomery. It's not the criminal element. It's the guns. It's the guns.
JD, you are wrong, bro.
Rock and roll doctor Albrecht certainly wrote the copy he read about Birch's Yard. Says he's a mega libtard and deals in dirty propaganda. I don't know Albrecht personally as well as many other folks around here do. I've never really gotten that vibe that he's a, in your words, mega libtard, but maybe you watch a lot more of Albrecht than I do. He seems, every time I've met him, he's been a great dude.
Yeah. So,
but we haven't delved very far into politics.
No, but he does. He's always struck me as a really good guy.
He's never struck me as far left, that's for sure.
Well, I know which I didn't realize until I was down there for the presentation of the statues, that he is, I guess, president of the Mobile Hall of Fame. So that's pretty cool that he gives his time to that as the guy in charge as they try to build that thing.
Pat says, there's no chance in hell Birch had no say in this. He likely got the hats and shirts at a minimum for her. My wife would never set up decorations at my house solo. Well, Pat, mine does all the time, too. And I don't know if she's going to put ICE agents out there or not, but I rarely have say.
You're going to leave it to her?
I'm going to leave it to her. All right. Might go more with the bluey theme this year, I guess.
Okay.
Let's see. Old guy here. I operated my own business from 2016 to 2020. I purchased my personal health insurance from the Obamacare marketplace. It cost more than $1,000 a month. I qualified for subsidy of about half. I didn't go to any doctor for 3 years. I had a serious accident in 2018. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alabama paid the surgeons and other health professionals very, very little. I made arrangements to pay these people who put me together in monthly installments over the past 6 years. The out-of-pocket maximum kept changing and was eventually disregarded. The accident was out of state, so BCBS AL only paid pennies. Ambulance bills alone were $90,000. They delayed, ignored all appeals for 2 years, then said the appeal window had closed. They made money hand over fist for years and paid no one anything near what they earned. Motorman texting in, I stand with the Birch family. Cindy says, I would love to see if that sheriff over in Florida could top Birch's display. The Polk County Sheriff, Cindy referencing there.
Yeah, I got him. He didn't mess around.
Martin says, didn't the architect of Obamacare admit that it was not sustainable and would implode? And then on this more recent topic regarding the immigration issue, we did it to ourselves and it just got way out of control. And damn Yankee, ICE Halloween crisis shows how we are all still too sensitive. Your text, keep them coming in, 251-343-0106.
I've got a question for it. Let me just flip this around. Those who are not offended by the Birch front yard, which is, you can look at it a number of different ways. I get it, but
I think provocative is the best word.
It is provocative. I mean, it was to be provocative. So you can't say, "Hey, mind your own business." No, it's asking you to turn your attention to it. What would offend you? That's what I'd like to know. Where is a line that you would say, "Wait a minute, now"? What's something that you could put on that front lawn that a neighbor of yours might do and you would object to it and have a problem with it? Because if you're just saying, look, it's free speech, it's their prerogative, whatever, maybe that's not exactly the truth when you boil it all down. What would make you mad if you saw it on display in someone's yard?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let us know. And I was going to play some of this audio. I don't think we have time now, so I'm just going to point you to our Facebook page. Great job, Christina J. Harris with WKRG News. So, you know, I was reading the story about the Crest Motel coming down on 90. It's kind of right there catty-cornered from the license office on Demetropolis on 90.
Where all the fine motels are.
That's right. All the five stars. And this one. So the
I've never eaten at their restaurant.
I have lounged on their pool deck. Not really. The Crest Motel, built in 1952. So it's either coming down or they went ahead and knocked it all the way down yesterday. I didn't know what to expect when I opened the WKRG story, but I saw their reporter, Christina J. Harris, sitting in an excavator right out in front. And I was like, she's not about to knock the Crest Motel down, is she?
Yeah, let's just say that the demolition started very, very slowly.
It was
because she was the one trying to demolish it.
She was great. It was hilarious.
It was funny.
It's not her day job doing construction, obviously, but they let her get the first strike in on the Crest Motel.
And she did it at 2 miles an hour.
It was not working. And so she got some, and it took a little while, took some time, and then the construction crew came over and helped her. They were like, you know, put a little more action on it. We need you to knock this thing down. And she finally got around to it. It is a video certainly worth watching. We've got it posted on our Facebook page, and I want to thank Christina Harris, because that was incredible. I really enjoyed watching that.
I'm glad it was so many years ago in Columbus, Georgia, that there is no video of me taking I was in charge of the big ball to knock down the old auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many times I swung it at
and
nothing happened.
That's why you need to practice. They should have given you your own Crest Motel before they put you on the big stage.
They're saying the ball's going to break before the building does. It's 8:51 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porcio's on the way. We'll preview what Jeff's got coming up by conversing with him on the way next. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:54. To the text line we go.
Yes, and we'll wrap this up and then talk with Jeff. Let's see. King of all unnamed texters. What's the cartoonist suggest for scary yard decorations? Burning crosses? Tying in J.D. Crow to the Halloween decorations for Sheriff Birch. Motorman says, the only difference I would have done was put the Mexican skeletons on their roof. LOL. Fellas, I know the Birches personally. I can tell you Michelle has some sass and is exercising her right to artistic expression, as she is from Cuban heritage. If you are offended by a Halloween prank, then you are part of the problem. How about this text? I see where you're going here. It says, the most offensive thing a neighbor could display is a Tennessee flag.
Taking a shot at old Dalton.
I'm a Vols fan, but I'm not a dumb Vols fan. I've been in Alabama for a great majority of my life, mm-hmm, since I was about 8. And so I learned that I could root for the Vols within the safety of my own home. I don't parade it out there.
Yeah,
except on the air, obviously.
Yeah.
And Rick says, where are all the offended people when Comet Cowboys are in town? Well, they're there. I mean, if you see after the Cowboys roll, there are always people offended by them.
Jeff Poor is up right now. Jeff Poor's show is around the corner. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So who do you have coming on today? And then we'll get your take on a couple of these local stories. Got a big guest list planned?
We got State Representative Reed Eager from Pike Road, and I want to get him on. It's kind of interesting. He is the guy who, back in 24, wanted to take over the Montgomery Police Department, wanted the state to take over it because it wasn't getting the job done. He and I were talking last night, setting this interview up. They have a 911 system in Montgomery where calls regularly go just unanswered.
Wow. Really?
And he says, I mean, there's way more problems. This was a high-profile incident, what happened Saturday night. There's way, way more problem there in Montgomery and Montgomery County than we're being led on and led to believe this. And it's just not being reported.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because you see that in the crime drop in some of these big cities, and that's exactly what they've been doing over the years, too, either not getting to the calls or not properly reporting what the calls were about. So some of that might be going on in Montgomery, huh?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And they're supposed to relay these logs to ALEA and to the feds, and they haven't been doing it at all.
And I guess the latest you have at 1819, the city council suspending the downtown entertainment district after that shootout over the weekend.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the state do the same. You get these entertainment districts because the state bestows them upon you. I can see the legislature taking that away as well.
You also have a candidate for Secretary of State joining your show today.
We had Carolee Dobson. We had her opponent, Andrew Sorrell, on last week. But I'd like to get her on. She just got the Alpha endorsement, and we'll talk about that and how the campaign's going.
And then Joey Clark hiding in his closet there in Montgomery. He'll be, no, I don't think Joey's that kind of guy, but he'll be on with you today, too.
Well, yeah, that's how you phrase that. But I didn't. He's right in the middle of it.
I didn't appreciate him just mentally cracking up on the air a couple of weeks ago. Live on your show, I thought it was a real downer. So the Birch thing, I think that's going to be a big talking point, whether you want it to be or not.
There is just some blatant virtue signaling from people acting like they're offended by this. Just knock it off. No, you're not fooling anybody, okay? I will say that for my show, but I just like, get over yourselves, okay?
How T-minus how many hours until this is on the national news?
I'm surprised it hasn't hit.
Me too.
I give it this afternoon. Maybe we'll see it. But we fly under the radar sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think this one would fly under the radar, but we keep checking. So far, under the radar we are.
Jeff, looking forward to your show. We'll be tuned in as always, and have a good one.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Good show today, huh?
I think so. But, you know, I'm a homer.
A volunteer homer. 858 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. And we will get all the rest we possibly can to do it all over again beginning at 6 a.m. in the morning.